خالنا جميعا شئنا فما بينا. لا يعلم هؤلاء أنهم يسبون خال المؤمنين. ثم لا يعلم كثير من المسلمين بجهلهم أن معاوية رضي الله عنه كان واحدا من كتاب القرآن والوحي بين يدي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فهذا القرآن الذي نتلوه بألسنتنا وهو مكتوب في المصاحف ممن كتبه بقلمه معاوية رضي الله عنه. فالطعن في معاوية طعن فيما كتب، طعن في معاوية رضي الله عنه طعن في القرآن الذي كتبه بيده. لا يجوز الكلام في أحد من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، لا يجوز الطعن في أحد من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، لا يجوز بغض أحد من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم بالقلب ولو لم ينطق باللسان، لا يجوز شيء من ذلك. ومن وقع منه ذلك فهو مبتدع. لا يجوز أن يعد إماما، لا يجوز أن يعد إماما أو مجددا، لا يجوز أن يكون رأسا للمؤمنين أو قدوة لهم بحال من الأحوال مهما كان، مهما كان وإن كان من كان. لا نعرف المجاملة في الدين، ودوا لو تدهنوا فيدهنون. لا مداهنة في الإسلام ولا مجاملة في الدين، والله المستعان.
هذا آخر ذكرته حديثا. لا إيش
إيش هو
يعني أن لا مجاملة؟
لا هذا كلام
ثم ذكرت بعد هذا.
ودوا، هذه آية، ودوا لو تدهنوا فيدهنون.
Okay, Ikhwan. Sheikh, he went on to say, now we come to a new issue from what we read today, and that is the issue of cursing or reviling the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or reviling one of them, or hating one of them, or mentioning something from their mistakes or what they fell into. Whoever does that, he is an innovator. He is an innovator, and he will be considered an innovator until he has mercy upon them and his heart becomes saleem. His heart becomes okay with them. And this is why Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala has established the deviance of the person who criticizes and falls into them. The person who hates one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To hate one of them or all of them, this is one of the branches of kufr and a branch of hypocrisy. And in contrast, loving them is a sign and a proof of iman, faith. Whoever criticizes them, he is muttaham in his deen. He is a person who we accuse him in his religion. And there is no way possible that a person can accuse and criticize the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then be a person who we consider to be one who loves Islam, or he is a protector or a helper of al-Islam. Because the companions and and Islam are one and the same thing. The deen is them and they are the deen, as we mentioned before. The deen is the companions, and the companions, they are the deen. So the person who hates them, the person who reviles them, the person who has something in his heart concerning them, they will be considered to be an innovator until they leave it alone. And they have to do two things. There are two conditions for him to be brought back to the truth. If he does that, two things have to happen. The first thing is, he has to have a rahmah upon them. He has to have rahmah in his heart for them. In his heart, there has to be rahmah towards them. And the second thing is that his heart has to be saleem towards them. If he used to do this, these are the two things that have to be in a person's heart as it relates to companions for him to consider on the truth. The proof of that is the ayat of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala, he said that the believers make this dua, and in the dua they said, and do not put in our heart rancor or enmity or hatred towards those who preceded us in iman. The Shaykh, he went on to say that the person who criticizes the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is mutanaqqis. He takes away from their place. He criticizes them and he takes away from their position in the religion. This individual cannot be a mujaddid. What imam of al-Islam in the past do you find? The imams of the past who were great. What imam did you ever hear or did you ever find? He became an imam and it was known that he used to criticize the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, if you find someone criticizing them, then this individual cannot ever, he can never be considered to be an imam. And the one who does so, one of them, whoever does criticism of one of the companions, then he is a mubtadi' and he is astray. These people wanted to criticize the thing that was being witnessed, so they criticized the witnesses. They wanted to criticize what was being witnessed, the religion. So they criticized the witnesses who were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they wanted to talk about the religion, so they talked about those who carried the religion. And we're sad to say that there are some Muslims who criticize one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is Muawiyah. And as a result of their ignorance, they do not know that Muawiyah is the maternal uncle of all of the believers. Muawiyah is not a regular companion, a regular person. He is the khal of the mu'mineen. He is the maternal uncle of the believers, all of the believers. Why? Because of Ummu Habiba. Ummu Habiba radiyallahu anha وعن أبيها وأبيها وأخيها أم حبيبة. She was one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the mothers of the believers by the text of the Quran. Allah ta'ala said about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his wives are their mothers. So Muawiyah, ikhwan, he is the brother of Ummu Habiba. So if Ummu Habiba is the mother of the believers, then her brother is their uncle, their maternal uncle, the uncle from the mother's side, the khal. Whether the people accept it or whether the people reject it, that is their relationship. And then these people also who criticize Muawiyah, they don't know, as a result of their ignorance, that he was one of the people who used to write the revelation in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was one of the scribes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, to criticize him in essence is tantamount to criticizing what he wrote. So it is not permissible to criticize and to make a ta'an in him or any of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And to hate them, even if the hate is only with the heart and it's not the tongue, the person may not express his hate by criticizing with the tongue, but he has hatred and enmity towards them in his heart for whatever reason. This is not permissible. And whoever does it, rest assured that he cannot be considered to be an imam, nor can he be considered a mujaddid or a renewer, a reformer, nor can he be a ra's in the religion. He can't be a head, a leader in the religion. In our religion, we do not know any mujamala. And mujamala is, you know, when you try to please and appease people. You let things go because you want to please and to appease people. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned an ayah of the Quran. Aish al ayah?
Waddu law tudhinu fayudhinun.
Yani aish?
Yuhibbuna an tujamila hatta yujamiluk.
He gave one of the descriptions of the people in the Quran, which is they love to make this mujamila to people so that the people can make the mujamila back to them.
انتهيت؟
انتهينا.
طيب، ولهذا إخوة الإسلام الذين يتصورون أن الإسلام هو الخميني، هؤلاء لا يعرفون الإسلام. هذا الرجل إمام، لكنه إمام من أئمة الضلالة، إمام من أئمة أهل البدع، فلا يجوز أبدا أن يعتبر هذا الرجل إماما، بل هو مبتدع وضال ومضل. ولا يجوز أن يعتبر نصيرا للإسلام، إنهم ينصرون دينا غير هذا الدين الذي نحن نعرفه، إنهم يدعون إلى إسلام غير هذا الإسلام الذي بعث الله به رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ومثله سيد قطب، فسيد قطب يتكلم في معاوية رضي الله عنه وفي عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه كلاما فاحشا يصفهما بالكذب وبالغش وبالخيانة وبالخداع وبالنفاق، وذلك في كتابه العدالة الاجتماعية. وقد يقول قائل إن الرجل تاب إلى الله وأناب، فنقول أين؟ والله نود أنه تاب، ولكن كتبه هذه ما زالت تطبع وما زالت تنشر وتترجم، ولعدة طبعات وطبعات، فأين التوبة؟ ولو أن هذه الكتب دفنت مع أصحابها لما ذكرناهم إلا برحمهم الله وغفر الله لهم. أما والكتب منتشرة بل ومترجمة، فلا يجوز السكوت عن ذلك، بل لابد من التحذير من هذا الرجل ومن كتبه التي أفسدت في الأرض شرقا وغربا، وغرت كثيرا من الناس، وتسببت في نشر بدع الخوارج والروافض والمعتزلة وغيرهم. فهؤلاء لا يجوز أن يعتبروا أئمة، ولا يجوز أن يعتبروا مجددين، بل هم أئمة ضلالة وأئمة بدع. أما أئمة في الدين والسنة فلا وألف لا.
Now the Sheikh, he comes to a very important contemporary point, Ikhwani, he said, for this reason, brothers, those people who consider that Khomeini from Iran, Khomeini, is a person who was, you know, Islam and a descendant and caller from al-Islam, they say that this man is an imam. The Sheikh said, yes, he is an imam, but he is one of the imams of dalala, of being astray, of strayness, of a dalala. And he's an imam of the people of bid'ah. He is one of those imams, but he's not an imam in al-Islam. Instead, he is astray, and he leads other people astray. And he is not a defender for the religion of al-Islam. He is not a nasir to the religion of al-Islam. But instead, these people clearly do not call to the Islam that Allah Azza wa Jal sent His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. He's not an imam and a caller to that Islam. And similar to Khomeini, who was the imam of al-Dalal and the people of Ahl al-Bidah, similar to him is Sayyid Qutb. This man, Sayyid Qutb, he had some terrible kalam, some terrible words that he said as it relates to Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with both of them. They are both companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this man, Sayyid Qutb, says some terrible things concerning them. For an example, what he said about them, he attributed to them that they were liars, that they cheated, that they had khiyana, or they were treacherous, they didn't take care of the amana. And he also attributed to them a nifaq, hypocrisy. This is what Sayyid Qutb said about these two tremendous companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that in a book called Al-Adalatul Ijtima'iyah. You could translate that as Social justice. A person may say, it may be said, this man, Sayyid Qutb, he died and he made tawbah from what he said about Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As, he made Tawbah. He made Tawbah. The Sheikh said, where is the Tawbah? Where is the proof of the Tawbah? We find that the book that he wrote and other books, they are still being printed. They've been printed a number of times since his death. And they're being passed out and distributed. And they're being translated into other languages. Where is the Tawbah? If his books, in which he mentions things like this, if the books were taken and they were buried and they weren't around anymore, then every time we mention him, we would say all the time, Rahimullah. So pay attention. If we would say it all the time, at this point, the Sheikh never said that. He said if his book was buried and it wasn't here, then we would always say, Rahimullah. He said, but instead, because the situation is as it is, we warn against him and we must warn against this man and what he has written. Why? Because his ideas, his book, what he wrote and what he thought, it has made a lot of facade. It has spread the facade of shirk east and west. It has made a lot of facade in the east and the west. It has helped to spread and to propagate the ideas of the Khawarij and the ideas of the Rawafid and the ideas of the Mu'tazila. These men are the imams of Abdalala. As for being imams of the Sunnah, the Shaykh said, no, 1,000 no.
أئمة العلم والهدى قديما وحديثا حتى من وقع منه شيء من الخطأ أو الخلل كالنووي وابن حجر رحمهم الله لم يرد أبدا أن واحدا من هؤلاء طعن في صحابي من الصحابة بل كانوا يعظمون الصحابة لأنهم يعلمون أن الصحابة هم الدين وأن الدين هو الصحابة.
The Sheikh, he said that the imams of the past, the old ones and the new ones, the imams a long time ago and the imams of today, the ones who fell into error and they made mistakes, like Al-Imam An-Nawawi and Al-Imam Ibn Hajar, Rahimahumullahu Ta'ala, it has never been reported or transmitted that they accused or fell into and criticized the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they used to know that the companions are the deen and the deen is the companion.
وقد يقول قائل لماذا لا نقول في سيد قطب والخميني كما قلنا في النووي وابن حجر. الجواب أن النووي وابن حجر علماء وأئمة ودعاة هدى يعظمون السنة ويعظمون الصحابة ويعظمون الدين. أما الخميني وسيد قطب وأمثالهم فيطعنون في الصحابة، والطعن في الصحابة طعن في الدين، فالفرق بين هؤلاء وهؤلاء كالفرق بين السماء والأرض، كالفرق بين السماء والأرض، فهؤلاء علماء وأما أولئكم فجهلاء، هؤلاء أئمة هدى وأما أولئكم فأئمة ضلالة، هؤلاء يعظمون الصحابة أما أولئكم فيطعنون في الصحابة.
The Sheikh, he went on to say, Ikhwan, someone may say, why don't you people, why don't you say the same thing about Al-Imam, the same thing that you said about An-Nawawi and Al-Imam Ibn Hajar Rahimahumullah, why don't you say the same thing about Khomeini and Sayyid Qutb? Why don't you say the same thing? The Sheikh, he said, because Al-Imam An-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar Rahimahumullah, they are the Imams of the Sunnah. And they are Imams of guidance. And they are Imams who looked and they gave precedence and they gave and they made the ta'zim. They exalted the Sunnah and the religion of Al-Islam. They are imams who were to be followed. Whereas Khomeini and Sayyid Qutb, they criticized the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And they criticized the religion of Al-Islam. and the distinction and the difference between these four people. The difference and the distinction between Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar. The difference between them and Khomeini and Sayyid Qutb is like the distinction and the difference between the heavens and the earth. Because the first group, Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar rahimahumullah ta'ala, they were the ulama. And the other two, Sayyid Qutb and Khomeini, they were ignorant. They were juhala. And also al-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar rahimahumullah, they were the imams of guidance. Whereas Sayyid Qutb and Khomeini, they were the imams of dalala. Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Al-Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahumullah ta'ala, they used to praise and exalt the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas Khomeini and Sayyid Qutb, they used to criticize and fall into the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
ثم قال الإمام أحمد وهذه المسألة الثانية في درسنا الذي قرأناه اليوم. والنفاق هو الكفر، والكلام عن النفاق الآن هو النفاق الأكبر. وقد سبق أن النفاق نفاقان، النفاق نوعان، نفاق أكبر يخرج من الملة وهو إظهار الإسلام وإبطان الكفر، كنفاق عبد الله بن أبي بن سلول وأمثاله، كما عرفه أحمد أن يكفر بالله ويعبد غيره ويظهر الإسلام في العلانية، مثل المنافقين الذين كانوا على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأما الحديث ثلاث من كنا فيه كان منافقا ونحو ذلك، فهذا على التغليظ، لا يقصد به إخراج من اتصف بهذه الصفات من ملة الإسلام، بل هذا نفاق العمل، والأول نفاق العقيدة، نفاق الاعتقاد يخرج من الملة. أما نفاق الأعمال كمن يكذب إذا حدث، أو يخون إذا عاهد، أو يغدر، أو ما إلى ذلك، فهذه صفات المنافقين، من اتصف بشيء منها ففيه شيء من النفاق على قدر ما فيه من تلك الصفات.
The Sheikh, he said, now we go to the next issue that Al-Imam Ahmed, he mentioned, and that is the second issue of today, the issue of al-nifaq. And the nifaq is kufr. And we explained already that a nifaq is of two types. The nifaq that is major and that is minor. The major nifaq is the nifaq that takes you outside of the millah of al-Islam. The nifaq al-akbar, the major one, takes you outside of the religion. And what is hypocrisy? It is izharul Islam, to show Islam on the outside. You appear to be a Muslim, but on the inside, you don't believe in Islam. Like what happened with Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn al-Salul and the munafiqeen who used to live. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn al-Salul. And the other munafiqeen who were living during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to show al-Islam outwardly, but inside they were enemies to Islam. And the other nifaq that was mentioned here is the nifaq that is mentioned as a result of at-taghliz, to be tough, to show the danger of it. So we have the nifaq of the aqidah and the nifaq of the action. The nifaq of aqidah takes you outside of Islam, and the nifaq of the actions, it's like the person who, when he speaks, he lies. If he is entrusted with something, he proves to be trustworthy. It is a characteristic that the munafiqeen have. So whoever has one of these characteristics or more, then he has within him the characteristic of an-nifaq. And according to how much of it he has, will determine how much of that particular characteristics of nifaq that is within him.
ونفس الشيء في الأحاديث التي فيها وصف بعض صفات الكافرين كما ذكرها الإمام أحمد. سباب المسلم فسوق وقتال كفر، إذا التقى المسلمان بسيفيهما فالقاتل والمقتول في النار، من قال لأخيه يا كافر، وأمثال هذا من الأحاديث التي فيها الوصف بالكفر.
لمن اتصف ببعض صفات الكفار العملية، فنفس التفصيل السابق النفاق نفاقان، نفاق اعتقادي ونفاق كفر، معذرة، كفر عملي وكفر اعتقادي. فالكفر الذي يخرج من الملة إنما هو كفر الاعتقاد، وكل ما أدى إلى ذلك من الأقوال والأعمال مما يضاد أصل الإيمان فإنه يخرج من ملة الإسلام. أما مثل هذه الصفات فهي صفات الكافرين، كالقتال للمسلمين وكرمي المسلمين بالكفر، وكالطعن في الأنساب، وكالنياحة على الميت، وأمثال هذه الأمور، فهذا من صفات الكفار، فمن اتصف بشيء من ذلك ففيه أيضا من الكفر ومن شعبه بقدر ما فيه من هذه الصفات. وأما الكفر الأكبر فهو الذي يضاد الإيمان من كل وجه، يضاد أصل الإيمان الذي في القلب، سواء أكان بالاعتقاد أو بالقول أو بالعمل، فشرطه أن يضاد أصل الإيمان. فكل ما أزال أصل الإيمان من اعتقاد أو قول أو عمل فإنه يخرج من ملة الإسلام. أما الصفات التي تضاد الإيمان الواجب فهذه صفات الكفار وهي شعب الكفر، أو صفات المنافقين وهي شعب النفاق. فهذا هو التفصيل الذي كان الصحابة عليه. والإمام أحمد رحمه الله يقصد أنك إن كنت في مقام التحذير، في مقام بيان الحق للمسلمين، لا يجوز لك أن تتدخل في هذه النصوص، بل عليك أن تذكرها كما هي حتى يحصل المراد منها، وهو الوعيد الشديد والتغليظ الأكيد. يعني مثلا رجل يكذب، فأنت تكتفي بذكر الحديث له، كيف تكذب وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: آية المنافق ثلاث، إذا حدث كذب، وإذا وعد أخلف، وإذا أؤتمن خان. فالمقام مقام وعيد، فليس من الحكمة في هذا المقام أن تقول له، ولكن في الأمر تفصيل، فهناك نفاق عمل وهناك نفاق اعتقاد، وأنا لا أقصد أن أخرجك من ملة الإسلام. هذا التفصيل لا يقال مثل هذا الرجل، هذا التفصيل إنما يقال لمن وقع في بدعة الخوارج أو في بدعة المعتزلة، حتى لا يظن أن المراد هو الإخراج من ملة الإسلام. فلكل مقام مقال.
Okay, Ikhwan. How much time we have? 10 minutes of 2 o'clock? The Sheikh, he went on to say, and also the same thing applies as it relates to the characteristics of the kuffar that we just mentioned about the munafiq and nifaq. Everything we mentioned about nifaq, it is also the same thing as it relates to the characteristics of the kuffar, like the person who curses the Muslim when two Muslims meet each other and a Muslim is trying to kill another Muslim, like the person who says to his brother, "Ya kafir." Whoever falls into any of these things and he does it as a deed of action, then he has done the action of the people of kufr. So the kufr is of two types: the kufr that is amali and the kufr that is connected to the aqidah, what you believe. The kufr amali and the kufr that is connected to the aqidah. As for the kufr that's connected to the aqidah, it is the kufr that takes a person outside of the fold of al-Islam. Everything that goes against the tenets of al-Islam, then this is, in terms of what is in the belief system, this is kufr al-i'tiqad. And the other kufr is the kufr of the actions, like what we have being described as the characteristics of what the kuffar do: to kill, to fight a Muslim, to criticize people because of their lineage, or to wail over a dead person or for the dead person. All of those are from the characteristics of the actions of kufr. So the kufr akbar is what goes against the origin or the asl of al-Islam. Whether that asl is something that is in the qawl, the statement, or is in the amal, or is it in the heart. Kufr akbar is what goes against the origin or the asl of al-Islam. And it could be the statement, it can be the action, or it can be something that's in the heart. The Shaykh, he went on to say, so we had mentioned that if the person, he has fallen into any of these things, then this is a clear issue. As for the other one, it is similar to what we mentioned. The person has fallen into, when he does something that goes against the actions of al-Islam, this can be the shorba of kufr, or the shorba of nifaq. A branch of kufr or a branch of nifaq. And those are the things that go against the actions of al-Islam. And this is what al-Imam Ahmed was trying to do. He was trying to explain, ikhwan, in his book, Usul al-Sunnah. He was trying to explain by mentioning this thing about kufr and nifaq. And this is the point. If a person was in a position, the maqam of at-tahdir, the person is in a position where he's warning, then we should take these texts and just mention the texts the way they are. This is what he's trying to get to say. So we want to do what? We want to show the person the severity of what he's doing and the seriousness of what he's doing. Then he said, for an example, what Al-Imam Ahmed is trying to explain here is, if you are present and a man is lying in his speech, when Al-Imam said, we just mentioned the hadith and we leave it like that without explaining it. He meant what? If you're in a position of warning. He said an example of that is if you're with a man and the man is lying in his speech, then what you should do is say, hey, why are you lying? Don't you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that lying was from the action of the hypocrite? He said there are three signs of the hypocrite. When he speaks, he lies. When he is entrusted, he proves untrustworthy, and when he argues, he is very tough in what he says. He uses abusive language. So you're trying to warn the person so that he would stop lying in his speech. The Sheikh said it wouldn't be from wisdom. It was no hikmah in you being there with a person and then you finally he's lying. So you say, look, why are you lying in your speech? This is from the actions of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the signs of the munafiq are three. One of them is lying. But lying here is not the lying that takes you out of the religion, and I'm going to give you the details of that lying. He said, this is not the place of wisdom here. And Imam Ahmed said, whenever you see something like this happening, someone doing something, then you just tell them the hadith that establishes the kufr or the nifaq, so as to prevent the person and repel the person from saying or doing what he's doing. But it's not for you to go into the details now. You just say it so that the way the hadith came. So both of these issues are major disbelief and hypocrisy and minor disbelief and hypocrisy. So this is what he wanted to do. When you're with or in front of and you're confronted with the bid'ah of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, now is the time that the details and the explanation comes. When you're dealing with a situation where you know that they're on something else, now is the time that you have to give the details of what is kufr akbar and what is kufr asgar, what is nifaq akbar, what is nifaq asgar, so that the person will not think simply because he fell into this, he goes outside of the religion. So he said, for every time, there's a time and a place for everything. There is a time and a place for everything. You do this at one time and one place, and you do the other detailed explanation at another time and another place.
ونختم إن شاء الله وما بقي إلا مسألتان مسألة سبق شرحها أو شرح بعضها والأخرى هي سهلة أن الجنة والنار مخلوقتان وموجودتان وليس كما يقول بعض أهل البدع إنهما سيخلقان يوم القيامة الجنة مخلوقة وموجودة الآن
النار مخلوقة وموجودة الآن، الجنة أعدت للمتقين والنار أعدت للكافرين والمنافقين، فهما مخلوقتان وموجودتان الآن. ومن زعم أنهما لم تخلقا فهو مكذب بالقرآن كما قال الإمام أحمد، وبأحاديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أحمد: ولا أحسبه يؤمن بالجنة والنار. ثم ختم بأن من مات من أهل القبلة موحدا، وقد سبق أنه أمره إلى الله سبحانه، أنه يصلى عليه ويستغفر له مهما كانت ذنوبه صغيرة أو كبيرة. لا تقول هذا كان فاسقا، هذا كان كذا، لا يجوز الصلاة عليه. حتى وإن اعتزل بعض أهل الفضل الصلاة على مثل هذا فليس لعدم جواز الصلاة عليه، وإنما لكي يرتدع أمثاله. مثلا من مات وهو سكران من المسلمين، لا يجوز للمسلمين أن يقولوا ندفنه مع الكفار. رجل مسلم مات وهو سكران، سكر يعني شرب الخمر حتى فقد الوعي ومات، يقال هذا لا، ما نصلي عليه. لا بد من الصلاة عليه، ولا بد من تغسيله وتكفينه ودفنه مع المسلمين، وإن مات على كبيرة فإن أمره إلى الله كما سبق بيانه، بل ويستغفر له ويدعى له ونحو ذلك. وأما إذا كان بعض الناس من أهل العلم والفضل قالوا ما نصلي على مثل هذا من باب أن يرتدع أمثاله من فساق المسلمين، فهذا لا بأس به، ليس من باب عدم جواز الصلاة عليه. ونسأل الله أن يختم لنا جميعا بالحسنى وبالصالحات، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.
After this, إخوان, the Sheikh said, now we're going to finish the last two points, and we already explained them. All we explained some of them, and they're basically easy to understand, and that is the issue about the Jannah and the Nar, and that they both are created already at this present time, and they are both present. And not like the statement of some of the people of Al-Bid'ah, who say that the Jannah and the Nar is going to be created Yawm Al-Qiyamah. The Shaykh said, la, the Jannah and the Nar, they both are created right now. That the Jannah has been prepared for the Muttaqeen and the believers, and the Nar has been prepared for the disbeliever. He said, and whoever doesn't believe in this, as Imam Ahmed said, he is mukazzib bil Quran, is a disbeliever in the Quran and the Ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Ahmed said about the person who says al Jannah wa Nar are not created now and it's going to be created, he said, and I don't think that that person believes in the I don't think that he believes in the issue of al Jannah wa Nar. So the Sheikh said, no, instead it is as Imam Ahmed put forth. If a person dies like this, the person who was a muwahid, if he dies and his life is finished, we recognize that there is istighfar for him, and we hope for him the mercy, and we pray over him. And even if there are a group of Muslims who are virtuous from our community who refuse to pray over him, that doesn't mean that it's haram to pray over him. Doesn't mean that because a group of virtuous people refuse to pray over him because of something that he had fell into. It simply means that they are trying to teach the Muslims to stay away from the evil that that man fell into. Like the individual who died while he was drunk. He consumed some alcohol, and then after consuming the alcohol, and as a result of that, it led to his demise and his destruction. Do not come and say now, we're not going to pray over him, we're not going to make salat over him. No, instead, the muwahidun, the one who dies on a tawheed, the person, we say that salat has to be made over him, and his body has to be washed, and he has to be buried. And even if he dies on a major crime or a major sin, still we believe that he, as a result of being a muwahid, he gets the istighfar. We ask and seek his forgiveness, and we hope for him good. And this is our last, this is the last of the issue, and the last of our supplications is that all praises are due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds.